We are recording.
Okay, good evening, folks. It is about 13 past 6 on Wednesday, March 19, and I call this meeting of the National Airport Authority Board of Directors to order. Roll call, please.
Okay, Chairman Woods?
Here.
Director Duquette?
Here.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Here remotely.
Okay, and...
Put forth a motion to approve the minutes for January 15th and January 23,
2025. Okay, I will second. Any discussion regarding the minutes? Okay,
member report.
Sorry, Jasper.
I think that's the first time we rejected anyone from the meeting. Let the record shut up the dog. Okay. Okay, so this will be a roll call vote on those in favor of approving the minutes from January 15 and January 23. Chris, please.
Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Director Duquette?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Okay, a motion carries. Treasurer's report, approval of the January 2025, February 2025 financial statement, subject to audit. Do you have any questions? We go through these, I've seen a couple of times, just talking about stuff. I wanted to ask a question. I was hoping to ask Susan, but you know, I know that we finally got the paperwork squared away from the state for the reimbursement for the land purchase.
We got the paperwork straightened out. We have not received, it did not go to governor and council yet. It's waiting to go to governor and council.
So the money is still in Congress.
Correct.
Great. Perfect place for it. All right. So, in spite of that, our cash position is still pretty good. We do have a year-to-date, we're doing a little bit better than budget year-to-date. I hate to say this, but thanks in part to the snowstorm, we just be able to build a little bit more than we thought we were going to do for the budget. But year-to-date, we're about 44,000 ahead of budget, which is to understand that the budget was expected to be a deficit. So really, we're about $6,000 for the good. And some of that is we basically had more storms than we thought we were going to have this time of year, through February. So that helps some revenue by about 11,000. There was a lot of pluses and minuses. Obviously, this building continues to be a drag. A little bit below budget. 97 Pine Hill has been renegotiated. We got a better lease, but it hasn't caught up with the budget yet, so that's still showing a little bit behind. Each month should get a little bit better than we have in the budget. Interest income, we have some CDs, the interest rates were higher than we expected. So all that nets down to about a year-to-date, about $13,000 ahead of budget. Then we had some building grounds maintenance come in lower than we thought. Fuel farm maintenance come in a little bit lower. I think we're accruing for something on that that we're not going to spend just yet. Electricity down, lower than we expected. Payroll and other things are a little bit higher than we expected, but not previously. So anyway, we're still solvent. We're still good. We're moving along, and nothing totally out of the ordinary other than just operating expenses different than we thought they were going to be. So, anybody else have any questions? That through February, by the way, I had to skip over January. Nothing big happened there either. So, Jess, any questions?
No comment from me. Thank you. I think we missed Dave, both times, so it's good to have you back. Thanks for the summary.
Okay.
So put forth the motion to approve the January 2025 and February 2025 financial statements subject to audit.
I will second the motion. Any further discussion on January and February 2025 financials? Okay. This will be a roll call vote. Chris, please.
Chairman Woods.
Yes.
Treasurer Heath.
Yes.
Director Duquette.
Yes.
Secretary Holland.
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries. It brings us to our next item, approval of the fiscal year 2024 audited financials. I'm going to turn this over to Joe.
This is my highlight right here. Dave, I can't have the excitement on the different ideas. Sorry.
Love that. Anyway, I did go through this. There's nothing, again, that's out of the ordinary. I was able to pretty much go back to what we had published in June, the financial statements that we published in June to the public, and then adjust and follow their adjusting entries through to get to the result that is published in the audited financials. So basically, unless anybody else has any questions or comments, I'm not gonna bore you going through every page.
As they say every year, no surprises, nobody goes to jail, right?
Well, yeah, there's nothing out of the ordinary. Good news is there's no additional accounting pronouncements that were put out that we had to deal with. So we had to give them a little pickup for the city that when their retirement plans, we had to get that to be redone. So, I recommend the approval of this audit, which we have to do tonight in order so they can publish it, finalize the report.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion about the 2024 audited financials? Okay, I'll take that as a no. So, roll call vote, please.
Chairman Woods.
Yes.
excuse me. Secretary Holland.
Yes.
Director Duquette.
Yes.
And Treasurer Heath.
Yes. Okay, that motion carries. Communications, I don't see anything under that for this month. That brings us to our reports. And first up is the tower report. And what I'm seeing is for February, we had 5531 operations, I'm sorry, 3416 operations, which is down 710 month over month, 17%, and that's off by 2115 year over year. And that's off 38%. Year to date, we seem to be down about 21%. So that's kind of a big drop in operations.
It was a bad February. It snowed like every fifth day, I think.
Yeah.
Snow and then wind for the last month.
A lot of wind.
Yep. The wind has really put a hamper on things.
So that brings us to the manager's report.
Okay. Recent events. We have finalized winter. Not going to snow anymore.
It's the first day of spring tomorrow. It was a problem.
That is correct. upcoming events at Nashua Airport. We have put together a pilot controller forum. It'll be held on Saturday, February 10th from 9 to 12 in the morning. And it'll be located at 101 Perimeter Road, which is John Belisle's hangar. He's been generous enough to offer up his hangar for this event. It's going to be sponsored by PALS HOPE, the Pilot Airlift, Patient Airlift Services, and Midwest ATC and the Nashua Airport Authority. I actually reached out to 4Flight as well, and they have not got back to me. This was just earlier this week. So that should be a good event to have here at the airport. Sometimes these things bring in hundreds of people. We will see. On May 3rd, The week prior, we're going to have a EAA Young Eagles event. That'll be hosted here at 79 Perimeter, where generally we've done it out of the McLaughlin Sanger. Just makes more sense to do it out of this building and have the front center. We'll have this whole ramp all for the Young Eagles activities. So that's moving forward. And the other upcoming event is our annual Wheels and Wings event. It'll be September 20th. No rain date for that. We actually do have a rain date for the Young Eagles, which will be the 4th, I forgot to mention. But that's it for upcoming events. Other items of interest, I met with a developer named Jason Hughes. He's also a tenant here on the airport, has an aircraft at the airport, to discuss possible P-hangar development off the India Ramp areas. Matt, did he end up meeting with you guys?
He did.
Okay.
Yep. We put together a proposal to do like a preliminary sketch of some proposed hangars out there to see how many can probably fit in there. Just rough estimates, but that's underway. We haven't even started that yet.
Okay. So we just met, so he's just starting to entertain this project. On the 9th, we ran an ad in the Nashua Telegraph seeking RFQs for airport engineering consultant selection. We're in the process of going through that. So I'll inform you next month what we come up with. And on the 12th, Matt Caron and I met with the City of Nashua, and we proposed to the Capital Improvement Committee our matching funds request for the upcoming year. I'd say that went rather well. It was probably, I think it was 7 or 8 people on the board, and thankfully they give me a half hour to speak where everybody else only gets 10 minutes because we have a lot to explain with how, you know, the dynamics of working with the FAA, New Hampshire DOT, how it all works. And they understand how, you know, when the FAA puts the ball on the tee, you have to kick. And so it's not like the other departments where they can plan, all right, 2 years from now we'll do this, we'll do that, and it happens. We also explained to them how, you know, we're only looking for nickels on the dollar, where every other department's looking for 100% funding within the city. We're also the only city department, we'll call it, that brings tens of millions of dollars into the community annually. And they understand this, they appreciate it, and I think we, again, you know, it's not like they have a vote and say, all right, we're going to give you all this, but it was very positive, the reception that we had.
They're going to pay for 100 bucks?
That is not part of this meeting, but on the 14th, which was last Friday, I participated in a radio program on WSMN to promote the Nashua Airport. And I don't know if anybody listened to it, but if you want to, I'm sure it's, you can go to WSMN and you can download the file and here we talked about. It was about an hour-long program, and I think it went well. Also, last but not least, I'd like to thank Nashua Jet, Shane McLaughlin, Mary Parker, Bob Bird, and Griffin for presenting the Nashua Airport Authority with brand new flags for our main entrance park. And they look real nice. They bought some really high-quality flags this time, too. They're really nice. That's it. Anybody have any questions? Oh, one more thing. I lied. Hold on a second. That's not it. Ended up in the State House up in Concord this week, and there was an issue with the submission from New Hampshire Department of Transportation to the governor's capital budget for all the funding for the AIP projects for fiscal years 26 and 27, where they submitted it last summer. And somehow it was omitted from the capital budget. So it was showing that there would be no funds, no matching funds for the next 2 years. But to make matters even worse, not only were the matching funds not there, but the Fed share, the matching funds were right around $4 million for the next 2 years. The Fed share was over, it was like $64 million. And if that's not in there, because we are a channeling, we have a channeling act in this state, we would not have been able to even get our hands on the federal share. And that would have gone to, say, Massachusetts or other states, and we would not have got that. So we all got together, all the airport managers in Gassama on Friday, and we had a meeting and discussed all this and came up with a plan, and we went to the State House. There's a bill. This is involved in House Bill 25, and the Transportation Committee, we presented to them our case and explained to them how important this is to the state, and we believe it was an oversight. It's never happened before, and there's no reason for it to happen, especially when, again, you know, we explained that it's nickels on the dollar that we're looking for, you know, to leverage getting these $65 million from the Fed. And we also explained to them how that money comes about, as well as I explained it to the city the other day when we were talking about this. That $64 million doesn't come out of the general taxpayers' pockets. It comes from the Airports and Airways Trust Fund. This act slash fund was established in 1970, and they collect revenues from passenger enplanements on commercial flights, fuel taxes, etc. So they're all excise taxes, user fees. And so all those user fees, they actually make up 70% of the annual budget of the FAA. And so I think the taxpayers, they like to know that they're not paying for all this. A lot of times people get a little like, oh, wait a minute, you're getting all this at the airport? What for? Who's paying for this? Are we paying for this? You're not. In years past, with COVID, some of this funding was supplemented by the general fund from the government, but for the most part, they're saying in 2025, 95% of the funding for the FAA will come from this Airport and Airways Trust Act, Trust Fund. So we presented all this to this committee. They asked a few questions, and by the end of it, they didn't take a vote. It's not official yet, but we did get word afterwards that it is going to move forward and be reinserted into the capital budget.
That's a relief. One has to wonder how such an omission was made in the first place.
I tried asking that, and nobody seemed to be able to answer that one.
Of course not.
It was a past administration, too. So
that's not ways to get out of jail free kind of. I was blaming somebody else.
Yeah, it did happen last June, so that's why there was nobody to answer it.
The common denominator is DOT.
Was it an obvious omission?
Well, DOT submitted it. I saw all the paperwork. They did their part. Tricia spoke on behalf of our group the other day and did a really good job advocating for us in this meeting. Thank Tricia Lambert and Gassama, Andrew Pomeroy, the two of them spoke on our behalf so we could be mindful of the time of the committee. There was a whole bunch of us up there, airport managers, but we decided it was only a half hour. We'd have those two speak on our behalf, and they did an excellent job. So,
good to hear.
That's all. Is that enough?
So, any questions, comments for Chris this evening?
I have a small question for Chris, and just a comment. Great work, Chris. That's a huge relief to take advantage of that money. And I don't think retroactively that would have been something easy to pick. So, thanks for that. Just regarding the Young Eagles event, is that something you coordinate with the tower, and do they staff, do they put an extra person in the tower for that day just to help handle the extra workload?
They won't have an extra person, but the shift starts out with one controller, and by the time the Young Eagles are gone, they'll have both controllers, one on local, one on ground, and yeah, it's Lenny's usually up there on that day, and we'll make sure that Lenny, I believe it'll be Lenny and Mark up in the tower.
Oh, yeah, so that'll be awesome. I was flying here in Colorado at the airport. We were doing our glider operations, and there was a Young Eagles event going on, and there were some serious infractions, runway incursions and everything else going on, because there was just, there's no control tower here. So I couldn't recall in the last Young Eagles I flew at Nashua if there had been, extra staff. But, yeah, if Lenny and Mark are there, that's perfect. They will keep a tight ship for sure.
And I notified Midwest Air Traffic Control right when we organized this a couple months ago, so they were aware of it and ready for it. As well as I told them about the pilot controller forum, they're involved in planning it with us. So, because it could be pretty busy on the ramp that day.
Definitely. Yeah. Great. Okay. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for your report.
Okay.
Okay. So, moving on. We don't have any outstanding committees at the moment.
Just a couple of money things. Chris and I have talked about capital stuff going on, and you've done some work on the gate and security system and the whole software update. So where are we on that?
So we just got a another quote, and so we're reviewing the quotes. It's considerably less money than the other quotes, so we're trying to decide, are we looking at apples and apples? Mm-hmm. So I've been reviewing that.
What's the ballpark of that?
One of them, I don't have it in front of me, Dave. One of them was like, I want to say it was over $60,000, maybe $70,000. The other one came in at under $20,000. And quite frankly, the one that's under $20,000 appears to be better equipment, but I'm going to have my technical expert look over all this stuff, Mr. Simmons,
yeah,
and get his take on it when he has a chance to look it over.
And I know that you had talked to Yale folks and others about the possibility of getting some funding for this from the FAA, and they told us to put a fence up in security, so that
FAA...
Is there any kind of money available to fund this thing?
The FAA has indicated to us that they will not pay for this. They'll pay for fencing, and not necessarily security fencing, wildlife management fencing. And we're actually going through that with up back around the Mauser area. We put that on our CIP as wildlife management. And I guess there's some comment on the form that it's possibly for, I don't remember the exact words they use, human or pedestrian control, and they won't pay for that. So that's not what we put in for. That's not what it's for. So, yeah. But as far as security cameras, no, they won't pay for it. There was talk that Massachusetts got them at certain airports. They got those from the state of Massachusetts, not the FAA.
So it's not just the cameras, it's the software that operates the gates and everything, the whole integration, right?
Anything to do with that, they won't pay for it. When we put this new gate in behind our old office, we try to get the wires run out for a camera, and I said, can't do it. But there is conduit, and there's extra conduit that was part of the project, so we can fish our own wires and put our own camera out there, but they wouldn't even pay for the wires to go out there during the project, so.
Okay. The other thing that we talked about is, I mentioned earlier, kind of off the cuff, but, you know, perimeter road, is there any, you know, I know we talk about it a lot, but How do we get some traction on that?
Well, I know that you wrote to one of the aldermen recently. Did you get any traction on that?
Got nothing.
That's the avenue, unfortunately. And
okay. Yeah. So we just sit back and wait?
Well, I don't wait. I badger them on a regular basis.
Right.
I don't just sit around.
But are we badgering the right people? I guess is what it is.
Well, you can't go any higher than the mayor in this town.
Yeah.
We mentioned it every meeting we've had with the mayor every year when we go to talk about the budget. We've mentioned it to the Board of Aldermen. We've mentioned it to Department of Public Works. It's just, I don't know what the answer is.
Okay.
If I did, I'd already have it paved, but I think I've hit everybody possible. I did meet recently with Sam Durfee, who's the Director of Planning for the City of Nashua, and one of the things that we've come up with is that on the GIS, it's listed as a private road. It is not a private road. It is owned by the city.
That's come up before.
And so Sam and I talked about this, and I said, well, you know, can we get this changed? And he said, let's work on that. And this is in the last few weeks that we talked about that. So maybe when we get that changed to be listed as the public road, because it is the public road, it meets all the criteria for being paved in the city. They add up all the asphalt that's used in patching roads, and we had mills and overlays done, and it far exceeds all their criteria. And I'll tell you right now, the other day, I call the city all the time to have potholes repaired, when the crew was in here, and they do that, and they're very nice about it, because they're not the ones that make the decision on the complete paving. The crew that was in here, I asked them, and I won't say their names, but I'll tell you that I asked them, hey guys, just a quick question. What's the worst street in Nashua in terms of pavement condition? Mm-hmm. And they both laughed. They said, this one, Perimeter Road, hands down. Absolutely the worst road. I was like, okay, thank you. So my next...
potholes, right? I mean, I'm using logic, which may not apply here, but that by definition means not a private road.
Yeah, well, they have a pothole hotline, and they have a new system, an online system where you can go and report potholes. And two times ago, not this last time, but when I went to report the potholes, the gentleman, my connection to the Department of Public Works, was away on 2 days vacation, and I didn't want to call the guy on his vacation because I know he had been plowing as much as we had been and he needed some time off. So I said, oh, there's this new portal online. I will address it here, put it in, and I got a note back stating, we're sorry, but we do not maintain private roads. Have a nice day. And so at that point, I called this gentleman on vacation, and I let him know how I felt about that, and he made some calls, and they were patching the holes the next day.
So it's definitely a disconnect.
Because they know, Public Works knows that this is a city street. They plow it, they salt it. That was a bit of a challenge at the beginning of the season this year, too. We don't know what the disconnect was there, but once I got on them, that road was salted and plowed. So I am definitely have been and keep working on trying to get this plowed. I was a little disappointed, you know, in this past paving season where they were paving cul-de-sacs in the street, in the city, versus, you know, some of the main thoroughfares in this city were in really bad shape. And Perimeter Road, you know, the gateway to the Nashua Airport that brings tens of millions of dollars annually into the city and surrounding communities, should be paid, should be on that list. And it's not going to be a mill and overlay job. This needs like full box construction. This road is awful. I've had Continental look at it, and they're like, yeah, this is, it's beyond repair.
Okay. In your travels, have you figured out, have you been able to determine where it all starts? Is it, you know, who decides, you know, I know that each ward has their own paving plan. I get one for Ward 9. I just live over here. I got one for Ward 1. Is it part of the DPW that puts that together?
The city engineering department that puts it together. Yep.
So that's the first step in putting it on a piece of paper?
As far as I know.
Okay.
It's a bit of a mystery because I was looking...
Of course, we just had our Ward 1 alderman here, and he just had to leave. Yeah. We could have asked him, but...
I went down this road with my own.
Tyler was here. He comes to all the meetings.
I did a little bit of this research for my own road, which actually, I got the postcard this year in the mail saying we're paving. Yay.
Do you want a cul-de-sac?
No, it was more insulting. No, it was more insulting than that. Hills Ferry goes, it's a closed loop overall, but Hills Ferry kind of, it's a weird road. It actually turns the boat launch ramp. The boat ramp road, and I'm technically ready, but it just turns into Cassandra Lane after my house. It's kind of weird. 2-3 years ago, they were coming down, like, oh, they're doing it. They paved the 200 square foot of road that goes to the railroad tracks. Because it said Hills Ferry, well, that's what they paved. Yeah. Meanwhile, I get a lake every winter in front of my driveway that turns into a road. Yeah, anyway. So yeah, I made some calls myself, and it's some magical mystery machine that picks out a list somewhere.
So moving forward, Dave, I'm staying in contact with Sam Durfee to try to get that changed for openers. Just, you know, because it's easy enough to prove that it's not a private road. I even had Rick Dowd make the statement in one of the meetings recently that you know, he's like, no, that was basically given to the city from the FAA, and, you know, it's up to the city to maintain it in perpetuity.
Getting back to gates for a moment, is gate 15 still enough, or is that...
Yeah, we had to get some new Gate 15, yeah. Some new motion sensors on that, and they were a little tough to get, so we're going with a newer style on it. Okay. Gates are constant maintenance. They get used a lot. And
mechanical maintenance or the electronic stuff?
Both.
But mechanically, yeah.
Yeah, Eldon does a really good job with all the preventative maintenance, but occasionally, you know, a motion sensor failed, a wire failed.
I see somebody finally snapped the post over in front of your place.
We finally just got frustrated and took it down.
Right.
It was the last storm. Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions or comments this evening for Chris? Okay, so moving on, engineer's report, please.
Okay, well, thank you. Good evening, Matt Karen with Gale Associates. I am accompanied by Danny Carrion and Mark Pariano, also Gale Associates. Not a very robust update, so I'll move through it pretty quickly, but feel free to stop me if I gloss over something that you want to discuss in further detail. The rehab of Taxiway Alpha project. Last time we met, we got approval to proceed with a supplemental agreement to recoup additional costs that were incurred as part of that project. That has gone through to NECOT. They've approved it. It's been signed. I don't know who here has the signatory, but I know you were one of them. Thank you for signing that. I appreciate that. Danny, myself, and Chris went out and took a look at some of the grass that's supposed to be growing out there. There's a couple bare areas that we're keeping an eye on as we start to get into conducive growing season for grass. We'll monitor that, see if it grows. If not, we'll work with the contractor to come back and make sure that the new seed goes down and the grass actually grows. And then we'll be looking to close that project out probably towards the end of this spring. The relocate AWOS and SAWS, so the airport did receive the grant agreement. I believe Chris has those here at the meeting that need to be signed by the authority and then sent back to HBOT. And then once those are approved and those go through governor and council, we'll work with the contractor to coordinate that work and get the AWOS relocated. The land acquisition project, so the revised grant agreement that was executed by the airport that was hand-delivered by Chris to NHDOT on February 5th, 2025. It was my understanding, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, that that project was supposed to be on the governor and council's March 12th agenda. I don't believe it was. I didn't see it on there. So I will be following up with NHDOT tomorrow. The next governor and council meeting is scheduled for March 6th. So I will keep you all
March 26th.
The tower siding study, so there was a draft tower siding study. We've been working on this one pretty closely with FAA. From the VISTA siding meeting minutes, we pulled together a siding tower study draft for them to review. We got some minor comments back, sent those back to the folks that we're coordinating with, and then they sent the draft final out to like 62 FAA individuals that were on the email. I'm not sure that they're all going to comment on it, but the FAA lead for that project wants comments back by March 31st. We've seen some comments come back. They've been really minor in nature. I think one of them from NHDOT, they asked whether or not the existing rotating beacon would be an issue for visibility for the new tower and or pilots that are coming in. Spoke with Chris this afternoon, and the pilots that are flying sort of parallel with the runway in the location of where the new tower is going to be aren't going to be flying that low, so there shouldn't be any sort of visibility issues. But nonetheless, we're getting some of those comments in. We'll address them, hopefully put a bow on this, and then look forward to submitting a grant application once the notice of funding opportunity comes out to do the design and hopefully construction of a new tower for the airport. The runway centerline crack sealing project, we're just waiting at this point. There is no update. Just waiting for, I think the contract is going to start that in June. Mark, if any correct me if I'm mistaken on that. We're looking at a June timeframe to get out there and do the crack sealing, the rubber removal, and the markings for 14 through 2. And that is my update in a nutshell. If there's any questions, happy to address them.
Okay, back on the land acquisition again.
Yes.
So we go through a bunch of hoops.
Yep. At special meetings, signed the paperwork that they sent to us, got it back by February 5th.
Correct.
And 6 weeks later, we're still waiting for the money.
That's correct.
And that's going to come when?
So we are waiting for that project to go through governor and council. We were told it was going to be on the March 12th agenda. It was not, from what I can tell. I looked at it. It was not on there. So presumably it'll be on the March 26th. I'm going to follow up with NACOT tomorrow and see if my assumption is correct that it will be on the March 26th. Once it is, once that's approved, we can go ahead and put together the reimbursement request, send it up to the state, and then the airport will get reimbursed for that project.
So it's the responsibility of our friends in aeronautics to make sure it gets in front of GSA.
Correct.
Can I say that again? So yeah, who gets it? Who puts it on the agenda?
New Hampshire Department of Transportation.
They're the ones who are there.
Yeah, so there's certain...
They put it on the agenda for the 12th of March.
Correct. So they need signatures back from the airport on the grant applications in order for it to go through their internal review process, and then it gets put on the governor and council's agenda, as this has been explained to me. My understanding was meeting that February 5th deadline was going to put it on the March 12th agenda, and it's not. That I can tell.
So we're 2 years out from this project being done. When was it done? Was it like
September of 23?
It was January of 2024 is when we submitted it.
No, but when were the properties, when did we?
It was acquired on September 26th to 23.
23, correct. So we're at least a year and a half out, and we're still screwing around with signatures today. So it sounds like, okay, timeline, March 26th is the next governor council?
Correct.
And so then they approve it, and then what does it do?
Then the airport should receive the grant offer from DOT.
And that usually happens when? So if there's a meeting on the 26th, okay, what, 3 or 4 days? Does he have to sign anything else?
I don't believe they have to sign anything else, and I don't know how quickly they'll turn it around. I don't have that.
I'm concerned about what's there to turn around. They've already turned it around.
The grant offer.
Yeah, so what is that? But anyway, so okay, so let me get the thing. So that's April, and we submit it April 1st, let's say, on a very aggressive note. So then, what are we, 2 weeks from getting the money, a month from getting the money, 6 months?
Usually the, I don't know if it's an automated email that comes back or if it's one of the individuals in the department, but it's usually, they usually say within 30 days, receive data.
Okay, so end of April. If the stars align.
If the stars align.
Okay. And, okay, so the crack and steel is June start date. Is this date, is the AWOS, is that, I may have asked this before, is that holding up anything for extra grants?
Not unless he's going to start building tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, time you're going to work on.
And that's going to be, I'm sorry, that may have been facing it. So that's going to happen when?
So the AWOS is sort of the same process as the land acquisition. So you have the grant offer in front of Chris, that's going to be signed.
Yep.
Then that'll be returned, that'll go to governor and council, same thing. Once it's approved, we can go ahead and start working with the contractor to get them out there, which we can coordinate with the contractor in advance. We don't need for that to come back, but we won't start that until that goes through governor and council and approved.
Right. So we're looking at that, so that's probably June, May?
Probably June time frame would make sense.
A little bit earlier. It's the same timeline as the other one, is 2 months.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Sooner we get those signed, I think Chris, you're hand delivering those tomorrow too.
Yep. So. Plans to go meet with Steve Bolton tomorrow, have him sign it, and then bring it up to
frequent flyer miles for Congress.
I should be getting mileage.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions this evening for Matt? Jess?
None for me. Thank you, Matt.
Welcome.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. So let's see, we have no committees outstanding. Brings us to old business, Infinity Aviation Hangar Development. Greg, please.
Did you call me old?
Greg Lee's on for the recording. So things move; they just move incredibly slow. Much to my dismay. Some of it is due to my schedule and my reaction time to things and to get things moving. So I can't blame too many other people, but things do move. My hope was that at this meeting I was going to be presenting some conceptual things, which actually include some renovations, a proposal for this building that includes some renovations on the east corner to change the entranceway from the ramp side that I want to do. We're kind of trying to lump all this together because it makes sense when you start seeing what we want to do next door. Obviously, I'm not doing that because I'm sitting here with a cup of coffee. I'm hoping to be doing that next month. If there's not going to be a meeting next month, I'll probably end up requesting one just to kind of give everybody a heads up. One of the things that's been happening over the past couple of months, and Chris has been witness to, Chris and Susan have been kind enough to help me kind of give some tours around the place. We have some, I have some investors that are involved, specialized in aviation space, and so there's been a couple of different visits here. And I don't want to bring this up during this discussion about Perimeter Road, but I'd save it. But I will tell you that Perimeter Road was brought up during these visits. Because one of them, if you recall, the most recent visit was when Perimeter Road had about 2 inches plus of solid ice, and it was after we had that snow and it never melted and they didn't plow it quick enough, and then we had drifts over the top of it. And so Perimeter Road actually did come up as, you know, who's in charge of this road? Is it a private road? I did some education on that front. But one of the discussion points has been, well, if we're going to be delivering all this improved tax revenue to the city of Nashua, would they be interested in improving the road as part of their contribution to this project, at least as far as the terminal building and the parking lot? I'm only bringing that up. I wouldn't have brought that up tonight except the road came up tonight, so I'm bringing it up as something that I will probably be talking about, you know, in a more detailed fashion, but I figured, you know, for the benefit of the recording and the subject matter, it is something that will come up again.
And I'm sure you've had discussions with tenants and other people that are existing or even proposed that said, look, we're bringing a $60 million piece of equipment in here. You know, we're driving across a third world road to get to it.
Well, it does. I will tell you that when you have visitors and you're trying to sell hangar space,
right,
and you're trying to sell the presence of the airport, it does have an effect. I actually tried to change that particular meeting knowing how bad that weather was. And it was just completely, we were in trouble. That was a hard week, okay? There were, the whole Amherst Street was covered. That particular week wasn't necessarily the fault of the city of Nashville. It was just a bad week, right, to be here, right? In a way, maybe it was good because it kind of hit the road. But they had already been here and they had seen the road prior when it was completely exposed. It just came up again when they visited. So I'm just throwing it out there. You know, it was a concept that was, maybe there's, for lack of a better word, a discussion point there with whoever the powers that be are. You know, if we're bringing this type of, you know, tax revenue.
I went through the list with Susan does an analysis every once in a while, and we pulled a recent one, and it's upwards of $640,000 of property taxes that are generated.
No, it's significant.
On the road.
And so, there's
no fires, no ambulances, not a lot of police once in a while. It's just, okay, can we get something out of this?
Right.
And that's kind of, but yeah. So hearing it's so much better to hear from stakeholders.
Well, that's why I'm bringing it up.
Like yourself.
That's why I'm bringing it up, and that's why I will bring it up.
Yeah, and I've heard it from others as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's why this thing has got. We have to put this on the front burner,
right,
because we don't want people to come here. You do all this work, and the airport, from the fence in, it's wonderful. It's a freaking gem.
Right.
But on the airport side, you get on the non-airport side,
right,
and it doesn't cut it. And so it's important that the city understands this, and if it, you know, start, we're going to start making some noise.
Well, it's the same, you know, on that same subject, you know, it's it goes, it's hand in hand with what I just mentioned,
sure,
real quick about doing some renovations to the east quarter of this building too, because it's about a presentation, you know, it's about taking some money into the, you know, municipal building and, you know, that type of thing.
So right.
Maybe all of that will have a little bit of horsepower with some following the power to be, you know, so that, I mean, any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
So all the site work, the planning, the tax maps, all that stuff, that's all, has that been?
So the tax map's not established yet. I'm sort of slow rolling that only because as soon as I start having, you know, I'm going to start getting taxed. So that's not, but there's no problems with it. You know, there's no hold up there.
But that's something, I mean, that's obviously going to, that, just that one little piece, sure, itself is going to generate, you know, additional revenue.
Yeah. The land tax has been a whole lot.
Those are taxes.
My envoy is that.
Yeah. So, yeah. Thank you for that, Greg. This is important. If you have others that, you know, that has other stakeholders, other people in your position, we, you know,
yeah,
we're gonna have, get a petition. We're gonna write a letter or something.
Well, I think that I feel very strongly that a, you know, 70,000 square foot hangar is gonna get some attention. City Hall, if we make it an issue, you know, if we make this as part of,
yeah,
you know, part of the requirement, if you will.
But that's why I asked about the planning part, the tax map, everything, because we can, you know, so at the same thing, but let's think you're sitting in your tax assessing department right now, ready to go. And the minute that, well, but he's not going to do that unless this gets fixed.
Right.
So, okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions for Greg this evening? Okay, thank you, Greg. Appreciate it. Let's see, that brings us to new business, which we have something here. Certificate to Vote, SPG 1231-2024, relocate weather reporting equipment in Water Clause. Joe.
Before the motion, authorized Fair Woods, Chairman of the Nash Airport Authority, to execute and deliver foreign on behalf of the Nash Airport Authority any contracts with the City of New Hampshire related to SBG 1231-2024, relocating of the weather reporting equipment in WAS SAWS.
Second that.
Oh, yes, I'll second that.
Okay, discussion on the motion. Okay, roll call vote, please.
Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Director Duquette?
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries. And I can find that paperwork this evening. So, upcoming events, Chris has already discussed those. Public input as we come to the close of the evening. Any papers for public input? Okay, I'll take that as a no. Director's comment, we'll start with Dave.
Good to be here. Glad the snow season is over. Everybody's doing a good job as usual. It's over. No knocking on wood. And thank everybody for their efforts keeping that thing clear. And I have good feelings about Perimeter Road.
Okay. Jessica.
Yeah, just kudos to the team. Good work getting through another winter, and happy spring for tomorrow.
Okay, Joe?
Second, third, all those great notions. Do we want to just go ahead now and say we'll have a meeting next month?
Yeah, just if I could right now, I just have to, you know, I for some reason wasn't here for the January meeting, and I remembered it again that you guys tabled the vote on the financials for November and December.
Oh.
So we need to just formalize that as kind of motion to accept those reports as well, subject to audit. How did that pass through the last 4 or 5 months?
Sorry, so we'll put forth a motion to accept the November 2024 and December 2024 financial subject audit.
I will second. Okay. Any discussion on that motion?
My overview I gave earlier kind of encompasses year-to-date stuff, so.
Okay. Chris, would you call the roll, please?
Chairman Woods.
Yes.
Treasurer Heath.
Yes.
Director Duquette.
Yes.
Secretary Holland.
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries. Thank you. Thank you for catching that. Let's see. So, I will comment. You know, it's like I'm glad it looks like spring is here. It feels a little bit like spring outside. That's a good thing. Greg, I hope we can convince the city that it is in their interest, you know, as well as ours, that something substantial happens on Perimeter Road, and that would be wonderful. Because it does look like the surface of the moon right now.
Yeah.
So, and David, and I'm sure Susan had a lot to do with this too. Thank you for getting the financials together and working with the auditors to, you know, make sure everything is squeaky clean.
Yeah, Susan did a good job with that, for sure.
So, you know, appreciate all of that. And with that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn to non-public pursuant to RSA 91A32A, the dismissal, promotion, or compensation of any public employee.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Okay.
Sorry,
roll call vote to adjourn, please.
Chairman Woods.
Yes.
Treasurer Heath.
Yes.
Director Duquette?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Okay, we are adjourned. Thank you, folks.
Thank you.